countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
From Ireland's current sexiest man to one that was had that title probably in the past, Paddy Cole. I'm on a roll here this morning. How
maybe,
are you?
Maybe about 50 years ago or something like that. Yeah,
but it was true, wasn't it?
Oh, it very much so. I agree with that anyway, Damien.
And I was reading about it actually in your new book, which is Paddy Cole, King of the Swingers, written with Tom Gilmore. It was really your I suppose, COVID lockdown project to get you through the summer, Paddy. And it's a fantastic read. But before we go into that, you do have an interest in tomorrow's hurling.
Yeah, well, my wife Helen comes from Limerick. Her brother John played for Limerick Miners. I remember going to see him in Croke Park.
John Hare.
Mm. And so to be divided sort of loyalties tomorrow, because I suppose we're typical Irish, we're always for the kind of for the underdog. We were all screaming our heads off for Limerick last year and all that. But
Does that mean you were cheering for Cavan last Sunday?
My grandfather was a Cavan man, so we always said, and we, like, over the years, unfortunately, when I was growing up, we didn't have much to cheer about in Monaghan, so we always followed Cavan.
Ah, that's good to hear.
And I was delighted with Cavan.
How things have changed,
yeah. Well, like, I mean, and I suppose when you look at Donegal, they put a fierce effort in and they were caught on the hop, but yeah. Cavan were awesome that day against Donegal.
Well, listen, as you said, Monaghan, Castle Blaney, that was your home. You were one of seven. You had six sisters to look after you, Paddy.
That's
and,
right, yeah.
Your dad was Paddy Senior. Your mother, Mary Hughes as well. They were very much like a lot of people, but in your case, they were your influence.
Oh, very much so. My father was a musician. He played saxophone in a dance orchestra at the time, sitting down reading music and that, and he taught me music, and he also taught me trout fishing and how to drive a car and all that. He was a great guy. But, every time I came home from school, he had me in front of a music tutor, and I had to have this piece off by the time he came in that evening. He drove the mail van at the post office, and when he came in the evenings, I had to know that part, and I hated it at the beginning because I could hear the guys playing football out on the road, and I wanted to be out there, you know. Yeah. But then I started listening to his LPs at the time on the old gramophone, and they developed a real love for American jazz, big bands, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, all that. And then I started playing a Morris Lynch's band, and that was a great job for me.
But you didn't think it was going to be a job. You were going to be either a butcher, an electrician, or what was the other job you could have?
I was going to be a guard as
well. A guard, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had the Irish. You were good at Irish at school.
Yeah,
you had the height.
Tom, and I had the height, yeah. And Sergeant Muldoon, a local sergeant, in fairness to him, he was like a career guidance man at the time, we didn't realise. He came to the house. I'd gotten a couple of scholarships around the first in Donegal. And he said Paddy should join the Guards. And sure, I loved it. I was playing with Morris Lynch's band. I didn't want to know about the Guards. My dad, Lord rest him, tried to compromise on it. And he said, maybe you could join the Guard of Band. And that was on the cards for a while, but right. No,
well,
it didn't
happen. Had you joined the Guards, you might have been a star in the Guard of Band and playing out in Croke Park before in All-Ireland and all of that.
And I said to one of the commissioners one time at a function, he said, I believe you nearly joined the Guards. And I said, it's a good job for you because I'd be the commissioner now.
Well, you lived along the border, lady. You mightn't get into the Guards because you might have been caught actually smuggling, and you'd have a criminal record. Did you ever smuggle?
I did, yes. I admit it. Albeit very small stuff. We used to go to Cross Madeleine and we'd smuggle a couple of loaves of white bread and maybe a gallon of paraffin oil or something like that, you know. And the customs men knew what was going on, but they were after the
guys.
But
why would you be smuggling butter?
Well, butter and stuff was cheaper in the north at the time. The bread was supposed to be whiter, which now, when you think of it, maybe wasn't such a good thing. But the customs men were after the guys that were smuggling lorry loads of pigs. And we lived right across the road from the customs post. And maybe 5 o'clock in the morning, you'd be awakened with the squealing of pigs outside. And you knew that a lorry load of pigs after being caught. Ironically enough, that that building was knocked down and a new office block, a two-story office block. And now there's a mural to me on that. I never thought that I'd be on a mural at the customs post.
Of all places. Maybe they knew there's a message there, Paddy. But it's interesting you lived along the border, and here we are talking about Brexit again. And I know you speak in the book about how, you know, music transcended politics and religion and all of that. And I was reading something quite interesting. You could almost say, now maybe this is a little bit of a stretch, but you could almost say it was true the show bands and through the dance halls that we actually had a peace process, might have had it anyway, but Albert Reynolds, who was a show band manager before he was Taoiseach, he reached out to Ian Paisley via a show band, a ballroom owner, am I right?
I was talking to Albert about that and I said, how did you ever make contact with Ian Paisley? And he said, I got on to Sammy Barr. And Sammy Barr owned the ballroom in Ballymena and was a great friend of Ian Paisley's. And he said, the word came back from Ian Paisley saying, I can't meet you at the moment, but I will meet you at some stage. And subsequently, they did meet up. And that was, Albert was great at networking like that, you know. And in fairness, Tom Gilmore got all those stories out of me. He was a great man. Like, as you said, it was during the lockdown, the cocooning, and he would ring me. And if somebody had said to me, start at the beginning of your life, like as a young kid in Castle Blaney, learning the sax and go right through, I wouldn't have been able to do it, but he followed up and got all those stories.
And listen, it's full of wonderful stories. And of course, moving bands was a bit like moving soccer teams now, wasn't it? You joined bands and you signed for bands and stuff.
That's right.
The capital then was the big move to Dublin. And then from there to Brendan Boyer and the Big Eight in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And then back to Ireland to the Paddy Cole All-Stars.
Yeah.
And then into the cabaret scene. So that was your career, as it were, moving around.
Yeah, moving right along, yeah.
And when you mention Albert Reynolds, and look, like, you don't take a drink now. And
no.
People probably think, oh, well, sure, anybody in the show band area doesn't take a drink now, they must have had a problem with it. But I was interested to read in your book, you didn't have a problem with drink or anything like that, but you got a scare.
Jim Hand, somebody said to Jim Hand years ago, I believe he had a problem with the drink. He says, no, I can get as much as I want.
But it was Albert that put you off.
Yeah, Albert, one time we were going to do a gig in Donegal with the Capital Show Band, and there was a terrible tragedy. A band had crashed the night before, a Derry band, and four guys were killed. So all gigs were off. And we were coming back, and we stopped in Longford. I used to drink a bottle of Guinness or something like that at the time. But the boys were ordering up brandies and all this. And sure, I ordered a brandy, being the hard man. Like, and Albert was shoving double brandies into me, even though Albert didn't drink himself. And he was given double brandies. I never was as sick in my life. And I never drank a brandy ever after. And he often said to me afterwards, I put you off ever being influenced by drinking brandy.
Yeah. But you did, as you said, you'd have a few pints after, you know, when you'd be playing in the Harcourt there in the cabarets or whatever. And then you got a bit of a scare, isn't that right?
Yeah, I had nodules on the throat and I went into the ear, nose and throat hospital. And the specialist there said to me, I don't think it's cancer, but if it is, we have it at an early stage. And he put me into a recovery room where I looked out at Adelaide Road at a tree. I still look at that tree when I pass it. And it's amazing how you would lie there and start making your plans, saying, my God, well, if this is the worst, you know. But there was a girl worked in the hospital at the time from Castle Blaney. She was a matron or a ward sister. And she phoned me after a couple of days and said, Paddy, never let on, I told you, but you got the all clear. But when you come in now in another few days' time, act really surprised and delighted and all that, you know. But it was a scare at the time. Yeah. And just, he said to me, don't take a drink now for a while because it will impede the
recovery.
Recovery process. Yeah. And I haven't had a drink since.
Right, that was 30-odd years ago. And it's probably maybe prolonged your career because there's a lot of use of the vocal cords with everything.
And as well as that, Damien, being deadly honest about it, a lot of my colleagues and a lot of people in the business that died, some of them anyway, it was drink was the root cause of it.
Yeah, you were never too far away from it when you were travelling around.
It was always
whatever.
There.
And listen, you're sounding great, you're looking great. And on the eve of your 81st birthday, next Thursday, am I right?
81 next Thursday.
God, Jenny,
but I have to say to you, Damien, I think I said this before, you know the three stages of ageing. Young, middle-aged, and you're looking great. So
Sorry for falling into that trap.
You fell into it in the zoo as well.
I did. Yeah, yeah. I did. Yeah, you were with us in the zoo last
year,
by the way.
Yeah, that was wonderful. A wonderful morning.
Yeah, those were the days when we had an audience. We'll get back to those days. The book is absolutely fantastic. You know what I like about it? There's loads of, it's not as if there's wonderful reading, but you have a wonderful collection of photographs. There's you and Roy Rogers, for example. And Muhammad Ali, Elvis. Yeah. I mean, you've met all of the greats and you've made some great
friends. I was very lucky, Damien, in the career I was in to meet all these people. Yeah. And like I've said before, Helen and myself might be sitting watching a movie at home, and it might be in Jamaica, it might be the Middle East, and we'd say, do you remember the time we were there?
Isn't that brilliant?
We got to travel the world. Like,
you did. And you've grandchildren now, and the family are all keeping well. And I know you're all very close, and you refer to that in the book as well. Before I let you go, Paddy, I have a question to ask you. When you were back smuggling butter and paraffin oil...
You're going to keep up this...
I know you had a great career as well, by the way. but did you ever cook a goose for Christmas?
Oh, we used to have a goose. My uncle Tommy Cole he was a fowl dealer, as we called them at that time. Lurie went round the country and bought from the farmers and bought chickens and hens, and at Christmas, geese.
Right.
And the goose was a traditional thing at that time. And when we were young fellas, and we used to pluck the chickens, but at the turkeys at Christmas was a tough job. I can tell you, when you were a young fella and somebody threw a big cock turkey into your shoulder, over your shoulder, and said, pluck that one, you were there for a long time.
You were there for a long time.
No, the goose was great.
Yeah. The reason I asked that is because our last item is in relation to that. But before I go to it, I want to say, Paddy, congratulations. It's a wonderful book. Genuinely, it is. I really enjoyed reading it, even for somebody that was... You were well on the road by the time I was getting it to listen. But it's called Paddy Cole, King of the Swingers, My Story with Tom Gilmore, and it's printed by O'Brien.
Thank you so much.
And it's a great Christmas present. Happy Christmas, Paddy.
Same to you.
Always great to see you. We'll see you, King of the Swinger.
Give me regards to your mum and dad.
I will, and to your wife, Helen, as well, of course. Thanks, Paddy.
Thanks.